At this time, we're going to begin our service. You like to open your Bibles to 2 Chronicles. There are no cheat sheets today for you, but we are continuing our series in worship. And we are looking at the high life, lifestyle worship, and our lives are designed to be a lifestyle of worship. As we do life together, one of the things that God wants you and I to understand is that everything in our life is about worship. It doesn't matter what it is. And it's difficult sometimes, as we do life, to recognize that we have to take everything that happens and we have to give it back to who God is, whether it's the good or the bad. And it's, as we go through life, sometimes difficult things happen, even financially. I don't know about you, but I had my truck go down. And when a diesel Ford goes down, it really goes down. And before I took it in, and you know, I was like, okay, God, what are you doing here? I know this thing, you can't fix those things. By the way, newer cars, right? You can't work on them anymore by yourself, right? They make it that way because they want you to go back and spend your money. And so as I took it in, the first time I went in, they said, oh, it's going to be $3,800. I went, $3,800. Well, they fixed it, but it wasn't completely fixed. I took it back, and they said, oh, it's going to be $1,200 more. By the time I got done, it was $6,000. And so I had a decision to make. I could be frustrated with life, right? Or I can look at God and say, thank you. It's hard. But we have to realize that God wants to work through everything in our life. It doesn't matter what it is. And we tend to see everything that's up close rather than things that God sees 10 years down the road. And he may take one situation at one point in one time for something that he's going to do in you and through you years down the road. And here's what you have to know. When God does it, it is 100% for the kingdom. It is not for you. I mean, he does it for me because he loves me, but the good and the bad that he wants to use in my life, it is for the kingdom so that some might come to Christ. And so as we look at this lifestyle of worship, we're going to be moving through all aspects of life, and everything that we go through is for the kingdom. As I was thinking about this, I mean, we were here till last night. Troy and I were till about 12:30. I think, you know, when we got, I couldn't sleep when I got home. There are some of you that already told me that as well. And as I think about what God's done, what I began to do last night at 2:30 in the morning, I began to go, okay, God, what do you have for us today? What is it that you want us to know this morning? And the first thing that came to mind is the temple. And how the Israelites, when Solomon finished the temple, they moved into the temple and they dedicated the temple. And in reality, these walls are nothing but a tool, as I said in my prayer earlier. It's a space for us to be able to do life together and to learn and to grow and to invite others in to worship as we sing praises to God. And as you're going to hear next week when it comes to worship, your body is now the temple of God. And as a matter of fact, because it changed from the Old Testament to the New, The temple went away, the bricks and stone, it went away. And now what God says is he looks at you and he says, you have to understand, your body is my temple. That's why whenever we involve ourselves in sin, you know what we do? Is we bring sin into the temple of God and we try to make sin coexist with God. And God goes, no, you can't do that. I can't bless that in your life. There's no way for me to do that. And as you're going to hear next week, your life is the temple of who God is. And so as I begin to read in the middle of the night about the temple, there's one thing that stuck out to me, and it was pomegranates. And I'll tell you, this is weird. I love pomegranates. When I was in middle school, we lived in California. In California, you can grow everything. We had artichoke plants, and I mean, you can just, everything just grows. We had an orange tree. We had a lemon tree mixed with an orange tree. Somebody, you know, 20 years early went freaky and just tried to do some weird stuff. That's California, though. So I had a lemon tree right outside my window. As a matter of fact, I could reach out and pull lemons off the lemon tree. Well, our neighbors had a pomegranate tree. And I remember one day we were with our friends. My mom and would watch kids after school. And so my sister was there, Lori Wagner. And somebody got it into their head that we would jump the fence and we would go get pomegranates. And then we would come back to this little barn that was by the chicken coop and we would just have pomegranates together. It wasn't me. That wasn't my idea. But I was following because I love pomegranates. And I remember we were sitting in this little barn area and all of a sudden someone came out of the house and we were busted. And we were made to go and apologize for stealing the pomegranates. As a matter of fact, the neighbor was nice about it. They didn't eat them. I mean, they would let them fall to the ground. I mean, I wouldn't let them fall to the ground, but they would let them fall to the ground. And they actually said, you know what, if you want more pomegranates, come back. And I'm standing there going, see, we were okay. But pomegranates came to mind because pomegranates in the Bible are very, very symbolic. And I did not know this until in the middle of the night. You see, if you look at the scripture, one of the things is the pomegranates is one of the oldest fruits known to man. There are many myths about it when you read the Bible or you look at what the Jews believe. Some Jews taught forever that there are 613 little seeds in a pomegranate, and those coincide with the 613 laws that are found in the Bible. That is a lie, okay, just so you know. You'll read that online. You know, do you realize that everything online is not true? Okay, just kind of keep that in your mind as you kind of go online, okay? But that's one of the things that you'll see out there online. But the Latin word means grained apple. You see, when you pull apart a pomegranate, which is very difficult to eat, although if you go online, there's a cool way you can kind of slice it up now, and it's amazing. That is true, by the way. You can actually do that. But as you look at this grained apple concept, the inside of that thing, there's not a whole lot of stuff that you throw away. Most of it is flesh, but it's not thick flesh. It's each little pomegranate. As a matter of fact, there are Jews that they have so much respect for the pomegranate, they will eat one seed at a time. And the way that they do it is they'll have it in a spoon and they'll pop it with a pin and eat the seed. You see, because symbolically, it's very, very historical for the Jews and for Israel itself. You see, Israel even believed, many of its teachers and scholars, that the pomegranate was actually the fruit in the Garden of Eden that Adam and Eve ate. It's very possible because it's one of the oldest fruits in history. But when you look at the scripture, Exodus 28:35, and don't go there, 33 through 35, the priests, on the bottom of their garments, had pomegranates. You see, they had a pomegranate which was dried and was painted blue, purple, and red. And then you had a bell, then you had a pomegranate, a bell, and a pomegranate, and a bell, and a pomegranate, a bell, all the way around this basically this outer garment that would come down to about the middle of the calves. And the only time that they would wear this is when the priest was going to go into the Holy of Holies in the presence of the Ark of the Covenant and actually be in the presence of God on behalf of the people. And the main time that would happen is when they would sacrifice, and everybody had sacrificed in Israel, then the priest would go in symbolically and would make these offerings to God so that God would receive them from the people. And they would tie a rope on the bottom of the priest's leg so that if the priest went in, if the priest was not right with God, God would kill the priest. And so if they stopped hearing the bells, then they would pull the priest out from under the curtain. You see, you want to know how much God thinks about sin? That's amazing, isn't it? So really what you have there is you have a picture of the pomegranate, and it's a picture of redemption. As the priest would go in for the redemption of the sins of the Israelites. You find the pomegranate again in Numbers 20, verse 5, as it says that it was common in Egypt. As a matter of fact, Numbers 12, 23, the 12 spies that went into the promised land, they brought back huge grapes and pomegranates. As you go on in scripture, Deuteronomy 8, 8, God reiterates his promise as he lists five plants that are in the promised land. And these five plants, he basically says, man, these are blessings to you. And so here in Deuteronomy, You have a picture of a pomegranate as blessing and prosperity. As God says, you know what? As you go into the promised land, I am going to bless you as a nation. And what I'm showing you here is a picture of prosperity, the pomegranate itself. 1 Samuel 14:2, Saul, as he was out with his 600 men, you remember the stories where he was chasing David and trying to kill David? One of the things that it says is in 1 Samuel 14:2, Saul is standing under a pomegranate tree. And you have to understand that it was probably a pretty funny picture as he was trying to get some shade, because a pomegranate tree is not very tall. I mean, the limbs are maybe about this tall. And what did it say about Saul? Head and shoulders right above everybody else. It would have actually looked pretty weird. But he was just looking for a little bit of shade in 1 Samuel. In Joel 1, verse 11 and 12, this is the only time that it's used in a negative way. And here's what Joel says. If you get away from God, your life will be like the apple or the pomegranate that withers and goes away. You see, that's the flip side of that is this, is God wants to bless you. So the pomegranate is blessing. The Song of Solomon, pomegranate is used several times. And it speaks of love, fruitfulness, fertility, and growth. You see, the list is growing. You get to Haggai 2:19, and it symbolizes a promise renewed. So I'm going to give you everything in the scripture that a pomegranate represents. And here it is. They're going to throw it on the screen. Redemption, fruitfulness, blessing, prosperity, righteousness, love, growth, mercy. Did you realize there was that much in a fruit? Isn't that amazing? You see, this is kind of important for us today because 2 Chronicles 4, if you're there, look with me in verse 11b. It says this, after the temple was built, Hiram finished the work he had undertaken for King Solomon in the temple of God. The two pillars, and these are the two pillars that you would pass through when you walk up the steps and you go into the temple. The two pillars, the two bowl-shaped capitals on top of the pillars, the two sets of networks decorating, that's basically just design, the two bowl-shaped capitals on top of the pillars. The 400 pomegranates. You see, on these two pillars, there were a total of 400 pomegranates. Do you see what God was saying here? He was saying, when you come and you become part of who I am going to show you mercy. I'm going to show you grace. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you prosperity. And here's the other thing about prosperity. You got to get this out of your head, that if you serve God and you do what God wants you to do, that you're just going to become rich. Or if you give your money, you're going to become rich. No, that's not true, okay, guys? You see, prosperity can come in many ways. I can actually suffer a loss in my life, and God can bless me, and I can prosper through that. And here, as you see the temple, these two pillars and 400 pomegranates represent many different things to Israel. And so as we think about this space that we're in today, we have to understand that very specifically, this is nothing more than a tool to connect with who God is and connect other people to who God is. These two pillars that stood there and had this symbol that meant many different things to the children of Israel had two names. Each of them had a name, and here they were. The first one was called Jehoiakim. And here's what that pillar meant. He will establish. Get it? He will establish. You know what this space is? All it is this. So that you can grow with other people in your family and that you can be established in the faith. This is it. There's no magic to this. There's a lot of God to this. But what his desire for you is for you to be established in your faith so that when all these other things, these teachings and everything else that bombards your life, the difficulty, the struggle, the success, the failure, when you go through it, you are standing on the truth and on who God is. You have a strong foothold. You are established because of this space. It doesn't mean that you can't do it outside of here, but this is a bonus. So God wants to establish you. Here's the second pillar's name, Boaz. You've heard that name before, right? Who is that in relationship to? Ruth, right? Here's the meaning of Boaz. In him is strength. That's what this space is. The space is for God to establish you and for you to be strong in who he is so that we can do what he's called us to do. That is God's design. If you take the word pomegranate and you're to put it into Hebrew, the word is spelled R-I-M-M-O-M. It's Ramam. So now when you go to the grocery store, and like I did, by the way, I would have loved to have a pomegranate, but I have a picture. I went to like four stores this morning and I realized, oh yeah, they're a fall, winter type of fruit. But you can go in and you can ask them, hey, do you have any Ramam? Here's what it means to rise up. To rise up. Isn't it amazing? One little fruit has so much meaning. In this picture of a pomegranate, it is a symbol that God looks at you and he says, you are designed to rise up in the strength of your faith, which is found in him. You see, the Jews, their picture of the pomegranate is totally understandable. As a matter of fact, you can buy a lot of jewelry online from Israel that has pomegranates in it. The symbolism for them is very real, and it's something that actually, when you see the new temple at some point, guess what you're going to see on it? A lot of pomegranates. Because that will never leave them as they looked at it and as they recognized that this is about who God is. And here's the other thing that's super important, because it has to do with the temple and everything else of God. This is about God. This is not about me. You want to know something else? This space right here is not about me. The space is not about you. It is not. It's great space. And God's done some amazing things through you as he's moved us forward. And he's going to continue to do some amazing things. But none of this is about us. It helps us. It strengthens us. It helps lift our families up. We encourage one another in the life that we lead together. But this is about God. They're going to come up here in a minute and they're going to lead in worship. And you know what this is about? It's about God. It's about you taking the time out of your life. And as over and over again it says in the scripture, sing unto the Lord. It's a command, just like every other command that God gives us. Like love one another. Don't be angry. Forgive people. Go the extra mile. Guess what? So is singing to the Lord. And I know that sometimes we kind of think about our voice and we go, man, God doesn't know what he's asking of me. This is going to be painful for people around me. You know, God doesn't care. You know what God wants? He wants your obedience, because your obedience is proof of your love. And it's like in worship, and we're going to cover worship. Troy, I've waited on to hold worship in worship because I wanted Troy to get here. But the reality is this: worship is not an emotion. Worship is a decision. I choose to worship God through singing. And then guess what happens? When I do that and I focus on God, then the Spirit of God moves in and it becomes an emotion. Every type of worship in our life is that way. Everything is a choice, and you have to choose God. The other day, this was just recent. Matter of fact, it was yesterday. Holy cow, this is just running together. You see, the title of this is Worship Walls. It's these walls, worship walls. My chains are gone. Worship walls, my chains are gone. That's what this title today is. And Mitzi comes in here yesterday and she goes, I got to tell you something. And I was over here somewhere. I don't know. I was somewhere in here and I'm like, I don't have time for this. kind of looking around. I knew I was going to be here late because I had a lot to do. And she comes, no, 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 you got to hear this. She goes, Rob was up here and he was painting. And so what Rob does is Rob's our resident painter. And if you ever need anything painted, just call him. It's not for free, just so you know. I mean, he does it for the church for free, but he's a house painter and does it. And so he'll see something. I mean, like we were constantly putting up speakers, putting up lights and everything. And the next thing you'll turn around and then all your chains and pipes will be painted. Because Rob, the Tooth Fairy painter, comes in the middle of the night and he paints everything. Because it's got to just, you know, it's got to be right. And so she says, no, Rob came over here and there were these chains hanging right here off the speaker. And so we're over here, okay. Chains everywhere, oh, okay, off the TV. And so he goes up there and he cuts them down, right? And he paints them. Oh, he paints them. And then he says what? Look, the chains are gone. Look, the chains are gone. You see, when you think about what God wants to do in you, and they are gone. I mean, that's this whole black, it's black, and they're gone now because the chains are black, right? The bottom line is this, my chains are gone equals this. You are free to be. You're free to be. You want to know why God made your chains go away in your life? Through not only the salvation that comes through Jesus, but also the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome sin and death. You want to know why? So that you can be what you've been designed to be. And that's what this is about. Our church, our lives, our families, the success, the failure, the sleep, the not sleep, the loss of a loved one, the birth of a new child. I've always said we could do church in a barn. This is a little bit better than a barn. This building. Touching lives at Breakfast in the Park, the homeless community. Sharing salvation with your family and friends. Milo. Milo. The homeless guy that died recently. Who many of you share Jesus with? Free to be. Let's pray. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, as we just focus for a few moments and look to who God is, I want to encourage you in a moment to take this time as we close out our service and worship. To just do whatever God tells you to do. And if you're called to go pray with somebody, you go pray with somebody. If you're called to kneel, if you're called to find a quiet space in a part of the room somewhere to just talk with God, if you're called to come to the front, if you're called to stand in silence, if you're called to sit and sing, it doesn't matter what it is. You see, you are the only one who is responsible for your life to God. And everybody's different, everybody. And God wants you to know without a doubt that He loves you and He cares about you. And He wants you to be empowered through His Spirit. Lord, as we come to you now and we just thank you for this space. We dedicate this entire property to you today. What better way for us to sing of your praises? What great things you have done. Because this is all about you. I pray that you would never let us forget our calling in the kingdom. May we not become distracted by all the things that are out there. whether they be within the church or whether they be outside the church, may we have a strong foothold in our faith, in our life, and our strength in you. May we never look at a pomegranate the same again. May we enjoy the little things in life. So we give this entire day to you now, and especially this time, as we say thank you for all that you have done. And in the powerful, hopeful name of Jesus, we confirm our thoughts and our prayers with this word.